I really appreciated the message Pastor Brandon brought last week in the middle. Anybody in the middle? You're kind of going through a patch of turmoil or patch of between a promise and between the fulfillment of that and kind of walking into that. We're going to continue this morning in that series, navigating the journey from where we are to where God wants to take us. And I can attest to the fact that it's a journey. It is a journey. And if you're looking for a quick end or a quick fix, go to McDonald's, drive through, do that. Don't wait for the gourmet meal of heaven, because it's not going to be a quick fix. He's working on various aspects of our lives. And what's wonderful is he's not only working on us, he's working on all those that we're going to minister to. He's preparing a table for us. Thank you, Lily. That's great. Thanks. And Pastor Brandon started the series between the pain and the promise is the process. And a lot of times, as he mentioned last week, a lot of times we are not good at talking about the process. I've been around church circles for a long time, and we got the promises, and we got the presence, and we've got everything else. And then camp's over, or church is over, and then you walk through that week, and everything is being thrown at you. And there's a process that's going on to establish who you are in the calling that God has done. And we're going to take a look at the life of Moses. And you can turn to Exodus chapter 2, latter part of the chapter. And one of the things I noticed with Moses, and he has been he's probably been one of my favorite characters, favorite leaders in the scriptures. And there's such a journey with him that he goes through, and it's drawn out over a long period of time. And there's very little, for the most part, there's very little detail in the years, those years that he was there. But there are some little keys, and I hope to be able to touch on some of those. And what I want to focus on this morning is a little bit of a shift from that, and what I've entitled this, In the Middle of the Desert. And this, there's a time when in the life of Moses, he was going from the palace and that inner pain of finding his identity in that, and the promise, there was a process. A lot of times we start with nothing and we end up with something. He started with everything and ended up with something greater. And there's many of us in this place are reasonably established, especially some of us more vintage types. We're a little more established in not only our faith, but also in life. And when God comes knocking on our and says, I've got a plan for you, it's a little different than when I'm 17 and we're looking for a plan. I do recall a time when I was, I think it was 18, 17, and God got a hold of my life, and it was the first year after high school. And he called me into the ministry and at a Mennonite Bible school in Saskatchewan. Yay, the Mennonites. Faithful, faithful. And in that place, I had this encounter with him, totally out of my paradigm, totally, totally out of my paradigm. And he visited me, and he said, I've got my hand on you. I'm going to walk with you, and I want you to follow me. And I said, sure. And 2 days later, I realized that preachers were poor, and I'd grown up in poverty, and I said, no thanks. few days later, but there were moments in through the whole journey that he walked with me in that. And then later on, things would shift again. Because I determined for many years, 12 or so years, to do my own thing and to explore life, putting aside the call in my own heart, never in his heart. The calls, the gifts, the callings of God are without repentance. He never takes them back. Once he's got your number and he gives it to you, it won't change. It doesn't change. And we can spin our wheels all we want. It really doesn't matter. But God has his hand on us. And I just feel that there's a word for someone in here. You had a call of God on your life many years ago. And there was, you kind of set it aside and you tried to do your own thing. And you didn't live like God mattered in your life. But he's back at you. He's back at you. And what he called you to has not changed. You may have, but he hasn't. And his mercy is new today, and he will give you and restore you in that. So the background setting, Israel is in slavery under the Egyptian pharaohs, and God calls Moses out of the desert and out of the desert to lead his people out of bondage and into the land that God promised. And if you turn to Acts or Exodus chapter 2, just put your finger in there. And Stephen, one of the deacons of the early church, in his dissertation to the Jewish leaders, laid out exactly what took place with Israel in Acts chapter 7. And there's it's a paraphrase model where God sets out to transform nations. When God sets out to transform nations, he empowers people to do it. Always. And turn to somebody near you, just tag them on the shoulder and say, "Has he got your number?" In Acts chapter 7, you can put your finger or make a note of it somewhere. In verse 20, it says, "At this time Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God." In the ESV, it says he was beautiful in God's sight. And here's this little baby born into slavery, what had a death sentence on his head at that moment, and was told, spoken of by God, that he was beautiful in his sight and he was well-pleasing. He was chosen by God with a divinely appointed destiny. He was rescued, adopted, and raised by Pharaoh's daughter from 3 months old to about 40 years of age. And in that, following the 3 month, he came out of the river or out of the Nile in about 3 months of age, and he was given a nurse and someone who would look after him. And Moses' sister Miriam called his mother. Do you think God had a plan? He's Jehovah sneaky. He just kind of sets people up. And in that plan, he just does that. And so Moses' mother became his nurse. And not only did she nurse him, and in those days with the Jewish culture, they would nurse often up to about 5 or 6 years of age. And in that nursing, there was time spent in teaching him the scriptures and teaching him who he is and his culture. And it was poured in so that the time came for him to go and move into Pharaoh's house. Everything was established already in his heart. There was a groundwork done. And mothers, when you do pour into your lives to your children, you are doing a groundwork of service to the kingdom of God. Pat yourself on the back and say, "I'm going to do better. I'm going to keep on going. I'm not going to quit." And in the middle of the night when you're so tired and you just want to sleep and they keep crying and fussing, remember, you are an agent of the Holy Spirit. You really are. And he was chosen by God with his divinely appointed destiny. He was rescued, adopted, raised by Pharaoh's daughter from 3 months to about 40 years of age. He was well educated in all the ways of Egyptian royalty. And verse 22 of Acts 7 says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. And that word deeds in the original language just simply means that he had incredible energy and lots of ability. There was not only natural talent, but there was trained talent, and he was gifted in all things. He knew everything about Egypt, you know, all the power practices and the culture and the arts and the national mindsets. And yet within Moses was this cry to return to what he knew to be true. See, what was implanted in him at birth, from birth on, those first few formative years, was truth. Truth of his identity, truth of who he was, and in the national picture, truth in who he was in the family. He could be adopted out, but that picture of who he is or who he was still retained. He had been imprinted with a hereditary identity of nationality and faith. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says this, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Never underestimate what a little child absorbs. I'm going to say that again. Never underestimate what a little child absorbs. Often the call of God is given in these early years. It may be a very embryonic form, but the seed is planted. And that's why it's so important that as parents we teach and we model and we pour in and we give and we give and we give and we express who Jesus is to our kids. Not only to our kids, but to the kids we are in contact with. I am so grateful that God has gifted us as a church to work with kids. I am so grateful. Because what we're doing is we're setting an imprint into their hearts, and it may not come to pass in the time when we see them, we're with them. But I'll tell you this, because of the ministry of this church, the kids' ministry and youth ministry, we have leaders in many different countries of the world that have grown up, that came to Jesus in this place. And we've got leaders and influencers in numbers of different countries. God is good. He is faithful. He is faithful. And if your kids right now seem like they're going, don't give up. Plant a seed. Keep watering it. Keep pouring into it. And you will reap a reward. And I believe in this time right now, God is calling established business people, established professionals, established influencers to be leaders in the kingdom. We're going to talk a little bit about, as I said, from the palace to the promise. Sometimes it's very painful. There are moments when we seem to have everything together. We've got our life together. Our future's been mapped out, but God. Everybody turn to somebody and say, but God. But God, he's got a plan and a purpose for us that is so much higher and so much larger than we could ever imagine had we stayed in the place where we were. I am so, so grateful that God shut down Walco Construction. We were building houses in Grand Prairie. We were doing and just come to a place where sky was the limit. And Alberta shut off the taps. The energy crisis, many of you are old enough to remember that. And we lost a lot of opportunity in a very short time, within a week. And then God went like this, Jerry, remember the call? remember? And I'd been following the Lord, kind of walking with him. We took the family to church all the time. Did that. Paid our religious homage. But when he put his finger like this, there was this instant drawing into his presence. And I couldn't turn away. And even though it didn't look like we were going to be successful or were being successful at all, we came to serve another man's vision. I know God put us in the right path. And what you see in front of you is what has come out of that. There's been a lot of people involved. But what you see in front of you and in the ministries around the world and the global outreach that is taking place now, Father, I just give you so much praise. There is no way I could have ever thought of that. And I will never forget the day. It was, I think, the first year after we had moved to the camp. We came to help Marcy's dad and just to serve him. I was having a morning praying, just seeking God. And it was like he came into the room and he said, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance." And we were in a little chapel at the camp. I tell you, that was embryonic form. But God has taken and expanded the vision, and I do know this, that what we are experiencing right now is just a drop in the bucket. It's just a drop in the bucket. Because he has a plan and a purpose, and he's got a design on every one of us that is in this house. And it will be working together. It will be part of a body that is fit and joined together. And God is going to receive the reward for the labor that he's put in, the picture that he's put in us. Every one of us has something to contribute. Amen? Amen. Exodus 2 and verse 15, we're going to pick up the story there. When Pharaoh heard Moses had tried to take things into his own hands, he had killed an Egyptian, and the Jewish, his fellow Israelites were kind of questioning his leadership abilities. And it says, when Pharaoh heard of the matter, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. In the middle of the desert, there's a well. It's a place of refreshing, and in the process, a place of hope and healing. It would be that well was always a place of connection, a place of community, a place of ministry, and a place of opportunity. When God gives a well for you to come drink at, it becomes a full meal deal. There is something about it that it's a place. He never brings you into a place of loneliness other before he releases you like that. It's a place of refreshing. It's a place of process. And what would happen is along would come these daughters The priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came, and they drew water, and they filled the troughs of water for their father's flock. And when the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, or Jethro, their father, he said, "How is it that you have come home so soon?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also watered the flocks." And he says, "Where is he? You got to bring him home. This man's a keeper." Got to bring him home. And Moses went and lived there, and he ended up marrying one of the daughters and having children with him. For 40 years, he went from being a Pharaoh of Egypt to a farmer. God, in his process, often takes and undoes everything that we've acquired. Because what we did was we were trying to create our own destiny in our own strength. And he says, I know the plans I have for you. They're plans of giving you a future and a hope and plans to make you prosper. And the prosperity isn't just a financial prosperity. It is a prosperity of influence. Because the kingdom of God is all about influence. He's changing the destiny of people. Isaiah 12 and 3 says, therefore you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. And I love that scripture because those wells are wells of forgiveness. They're wells of restoration. They're wells of hope. They're wells of healing. They're wells of provision. Wells of joy. Who needs joy this morning? Take a drink from the well. Take a drink because that joy will keep you going. It will give you strength. There's wells of confidence. And it's all in the package of Jesus. And when I give my heart to him, when I give my life to him, I can start to drink out of that well of salvation. I draw from it, and it has so many facets. For every need, there is a facet. Not a faucet, a facet. I love the perspective of Hebrews, where it says, Exodus 2:15, it says, Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh, and he dwelt in the land of Midian, sat down by a well. Hebrews, God's perspective writes it this way, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I think a lot of times we measure ourselves and our actions by what we think we're doing rather than what God thinks we're doing. I love it. I just really love the perspective of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, by faith, by faith. And God's perspective, where we felt chicken, he says by faith. Where we feel failure, he says, by faith you are successful and you are confident. And why don't we just say that over ourselves right now? By faith, I am who he says I am. I am confident. I am determined. I am blessed. I am healthy. I am whole in body and mind because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the middle of the desert, there's this well, and Moses came, he drank, drew water to serve, not realizing that this action would open the doors to the plans of God. He would serve his future father-in-law and family for 40 years. I'm going to say this to somebody here that needs to hear this. If you want a fresh purpose or vision in your life, find a place where you can serve somebody else's vision. If you want fresh vision, find and serve someone else's vision because God will bring it to you. See, our desert journey is not all about us. It's a place of growth and preparation for ourselves as well as the people that you are called to impact. For some 40 years, Moses served Jethro, his father-in-law, herding and leading sheep in the desert of Midian, proving his courage, proving his submission, proving his faithfulness, proving his tenacity in honoring the process that God had him in. The desert is your place of proving. Turn to somebody and say, the desert is your place of proving. He's proving you. He's proving your tenacity. And then chapter 2, verse 23 says, "Then the children of Israel groaned because of their bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came to God because of their bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked on the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. He had compassion on them." And that leads us to Genesis 3, 1 to 6. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back of the desert. And he came to Horeb, which is the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. But the bush was not consumed. That was the anomaly. It was not uncommon in the heat of that desert for some of the plants to burst into flame. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and look at this great sight, why the bush does not burn." Isn't that amazing? There was no carbon released into the atmosphere. That just really struck me as I was reading that. Sorry, can't tax you. See, fire without fuel is self-existent. And when the fire of God comes on our heart, it's a self-existent fire. Amen? He burns. He saw. God saw and he spoke and called by name, and Moses answers. What that tells me, it says God looked and he called and he says, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Moses never wasted any moments in the middle of that 40 years of the wilderness. He was tuning himself to the voice of God. And I'm going to say to us here, there's been a lot of times when we have gone through hard patches in our life where we have thought all about us rather than focusing on him. And we've not tuned our ears to the moment when he starts to call our name so that we can get out of where we are now instead of going around the bush another Amen? Amen. Tune your ears to hear what God is saying. He's called him by name. Moses answered. Moses recognized the voice of God. 40 years of time to learn, 40 years of friendship, 40 years of nearness to the presence, so that later on, when he had all of Israel behind him, he was not afraid to go up the mountain because he knew who was on the top of the mountain. He was comfortable in the presence of God. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you comfortable in the presence of God? Or does it become a place of fear or unrest? Because in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Amen? Fullness of joy. He says, "I am the God of your father, the one who believed in your destiny and hid you in the basket." He starts out with this. He says, "I am the God of your father." 40 years prior, Moses was born. And his father and mother took him and created this bulrush basket for him, and set him in the river and trusted God. I wonder if any of us could do that. And he says, "I am the God of your father." In the middle of his slavery, in the middle of the turmoil and the trudging and the day in and day out, serving the taskmasters, he says, "I am his God. He trusted me with you, Moses." And there's a word for somebody here that you're really in turmoil over what's happening in your kids right now. I'm going to ask you to just give them over to the Lord. Trust Him with their destiny. Trust Him with their destiny. It's not the easiest thing. I'll tell you that right now. It's not easy. I wonder what went through Moses' father's mind as he takes this basket of reeds and he tars it all up, and he takes this little 3-month-old child and sticks it in the River Nile. The place was full of alligators and crocodiles and whatever else. Just like our world is full of alligators and crocodiles. Parents, you got to trust. You got to trust. He says, I'm the God of your father. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. In Exodus 33:11, there's this beautiful, beautiful scripture. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are you a friend of God? Are you His friend? Or are you just a follower? Are you His friend or are you a servant? It's a whole difference in being a friend who loves to do things for someone and a servant who does things in order to please. Father, this morning I ask in this house right now by the Holy Spirit, there would be that revelation that we would choose to be a friend of God, yes, to learn Him, to enjoy Him, and to appreciate Him. We love you, Lord. See, God encounters establish our hearts. It establishes who He is in our heart, and they stir faith to hear and believe His desire in and for us. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe, first of all, that He is, and secondly, that He's the rewarder of those who diligently, not haphazardly, but diligently seek Him. He will satisfy that deep longing in your heart. See, and I know Claudio Frazon, in a quote at Open Heavens conference in Bethel, made this statement. He says, everything is birthed from a personal seeking of Him. Everything is birthed in there. And that's why Scripture enjoins us. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And then third point this morning is promises come in the middle of the desert. It's in the middle of the desert where we receive the call. It's the middle of the desert where we receive the promise. Exodus 3:7-12 says this, the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know, I am very acquainted with their sorrows. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land into a good and large land, to a land that's flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and all the rest of the ites. And now, therefore, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, and I will send you. I see this problem, and I see you. You're my answer. You are my answer. And the first thing that goes through Moses' mind is, no, 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 I can't. There's no way. How many of us have responded that way when God is asking us to do something? I can't. I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. I haven't done that before. It's all kinds of excuses that we throw up. See, put forward. Let's put it that way. See, in that place, there was a serving, even in the lonely, hidden places. Matthew 6:6 says this, "Your Father who sees in secret will reward you in open," in the open. Sees you in secret will reward you in the open. And here, Moses had been serving God faithfully, quietly, serving his father-in-law, doing those things, being faithful, full of integrity, and God sees him, and he's going to reward him now openly with an opportunity. Might not have been the opportunity he wanted in that moment. I've had a few of those over the years, and I thought at first, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I signed up for. And in the end, it was the best deal. It really was, because God has a plan. Sometimes we grumble, we complain. See, God saw, and he hears. And verse 12 says, "And Moses said to God," let's go back to 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you might bring my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And so he said, "I will certainly be with you. And this will be the sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people of out of Egypt, you will come and serve God on this mountain." And I can imagine Moses' response in that moment. "What you're saying is that you're going to go and you're sending me into Egypt and I'm going to lead all these people out." There was some 3 million or so out. "And they're going to come all the way out, and the sign that I'm doing what's right is I get to come back to this mountain and serve you here and worship you. What about all the intervening days? I know what Pharaoh's like. I know where I am right now and the trek back to Egypt. I know all these things. Do you know what the Israelites are like? They're stubborn. They are determined to do their own thing all the time, and they do their own way. They're God. And you're saying that the sign of my approval for you is that I'm coming all the way back at the end of the journey to this mountain." I wonder how I would have responded. I know that had the Lord told me a lot of the stuff that would have gone on in the intervening years between the call landing at the camp and now, I would have said, "Not on your life, fill your boots. You just go do it." But because of his grace, and because of his goodness, and because of his faithfulness, he can move us from the call to the place of worship, the place where we can honor him and keep us alive and keep us thriving in our faith walk. Therein lies the difference. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about me. See, he's very, very aware of what's happening in your world. And he's so willing to come into your world, to deliver, and to bring the promise into pass. And he comes in to empower you to do what he's called you to do. It's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's by his Spirit. He's made that statement and he's settled it. So Father, right now I ask that you would wash through any fears or misconceptions that we have about our own greatness. And that we'd step in line with you step by step. When I was a little kid on the farm, I think I was about 12 years old, 10, 12, 12. We had this incredible blizzard on the farm. And a bunch of our cattle, we had chased everything we could into the barns and so we could keep them warm. And there was a mixture of range cattle and dairy, and everybody was crammed into whatever building we could squeeze them into. And there was a lot of resistance to come into the place of safety. And there was a number of cattle that refused. And the next morning, we found them standing frozen stiff. They had died. And I watched my dad. And we went through, and he said, I want you to do something. The snow was probably up to there on me as a kid. He says, I'm going to take a step, and I want you to step in my steps. And we're going to make it through to the place where we have to go. For some of you, that's the picture. There's this lot of chaos around you. There's a lot of unknowns, a lot of hostile territory. But the Lord is going to lead you. And he's going to give you footprints to step in. And when I walk in his step, he's able to lead me and guide me and take me to the place of beneficial permanence, because he's the best leader. For those of you that are in our leadership cohort, that is the purpose of a leader, is to lead someone into the place of beneficial permanence. And God does that for us, and he's willing to go through and journey it, and he's plowing the path in front of us. And he never misses a step. Never. There were many times over the last years when I thought, God, you missed it. Man, I called God on a lot of things. And his patience was enormous. He said, come on, just stay behind me. Don't try and walk ahead. Stay behind me. Stay stepping in my steps. Because it's a journey. See, there was a purpose. God told Moses, he said, I will send you that you can bring my people out. See, I think a lot of times we forget that when he looks at you and he looks at me and we have the Spirit of God living in us, he does not see us, he sees Jesus. And he sees our ability in that light, not in our humanity. He sees us in the light of Jesus. All things become possible then. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible to those who believe and who are called according to his purpose. He says, I will certainly be with you, and this will be a sign. You're going to come back and worship me on this mountain. You're going to come here. And in that place of absolute understanding, God walked with me through these years, and he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will take me through to the end. And someday I get to stand in his presence and hear his voice say, well done, well done, well done, well done, well done. Because of his goodness, not because of anything. It's not who we are, but it's who we're with. Who who's with us and in us. I'm going to say this, never despise dry times. It's an opportunity for greatness. So, Father, this morning I ask that you would remind us of that when we're going through those moments where we're kind of grumbling and haven't quite got a handle on where we are and where we're going. And I ask, Father, that there would be such a nearness take place right now that it would be like we're encountering that bush all over again. And you would take us and you would call us and you would draw us into your presence. And there would be this meeting where we would literally fall on our face, take our shoes off and say, oh my God, you're holy. That revelation of the enormity and the majesty, the brilliance and the foresight and the protection and the enwrapping provision, you are able to do that all because of who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So if you're in that process, I pray that you're going to have an exciting time. Enjoy. Smell the flowers, spit out the sand. And if you're here this morning and you have never given your heart to Jesus, you've never given your life over to Him. And I know there's some times we want to follow Him, but He wants you. He wants more than a follower. He wants to be able to impart into you. He wants to teach you how to walk step by step, to step in His footprints because He's gone before you. And so if that's you this morning and would like you to just slip up your hand perhaps and just say, okay, today I'm making a choice. I want to walk with Him. I don't just want to follow Him from a distance. And we'll pray with you. And if you're here this morning that you're really struggling to find something to be thankful for in this season, just remember, you haven't stopped breathing. It might be the simplest little thing, but you have another day tomorrow. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And Father, I ask that you would give each one an incredible thanksgiving, that you would give each one, and those of you that are joining us online or have joined us online, we pray blessing over your household right now, that your house would be blessed with peace, blessed with wholeness, blessed with gratefulness, and that the Lord would lead you and He would guide you and He would cause you to prosper in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.